Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Faking Movies. It doesn't matter how weird our count-in is this week because I'm not editing. It's Seth. Seth caused the problem, and Seth will reap it. So,
all right, sound. Really fine, sound. Desk click.
Yeah. It isn't a problem at all.
Well,
fuck you. I don't know. So this is episode 260 of Faking Movies.
Feels like a big one. I was like, 260 feels like a number that has to
happen. Should be big. Like, it seems like it should be big, but it's not, right? It just means that we keep doing it. That's all.
You thinking of 360?
That's kind of where my brain was going, I think, yeah. So today's 420.
How are we? It is 420.
I was going to mention that we should be blazing it, even though I can't.
It is 4:50 in the PM. We missed the blaze.
Whoops.
Well, I didn't yet, because I'm in the central time zone.
Oh, that's right. All right, well, you better spark up in 30 minutes.
if I do that, I'm going to get real quiet, which, I mean, might be good for our show. But
no, you're faking this time. We need you.
Yeah, I'm loud and you.
I also want
loud
to...
and you. That's going on the tombstone. He was
I've always wanted my epitaph to read, "He had such tall hair." That's what I always want.
Oh. All right. Yeah, fitting. I'll remember that. Wait, are you doing that thing where we each get to take one of your bones?
What? I mean, you can do whatever you want with my bones.
Seth, he'll be dead. It does. Yeah, we can do that thing.
Well, yeah, but like some people are like, "Oh, I want to keep my corpse intact." Oh,
fuck that.
I don't want anybody doing any cool necromancy stuff with me later. Blah blah blah.
Please
blah,
do.
Blah.
It's literally called cool necromancy.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Do you really think I want to like stop existing? Come on.
No.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
No, man. No. All right, cool. I haven't decided what bone I want yet.
I was just going to ask what bone you wanted.
Well, I assume you're getting all the teeth naturally. And then
That
doesn't count against your total.
I am going to turn the teeth into rings.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I also want the stirrup from your ears.
Ooh.
Sure.
Yeah.
Delicate.
Yeah. Okay. I think that one would be nice to set in some things. It'll give me like innate power.
Very
cool. Interesting, huh? But I don't know what other bones I want. I mean, teeth, obviously, but you know, that's fine.
Sure. The luxury bones. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I would say it's on top of being 420, it's very close to my partner's birthday.
That's true.
And one of the things that I've been pitching as an activity for this weekend, the local high school, which is in walking distance to our home, is performing Mamma Mia, and I think it would be really fun to take some edibles and go see.
That sentence
ends infinite minus one ways that is bad and only one way that is good, and you pick the one.
Wow,
holy shit.
Wowzers.
Yeah, no, that sounds dope. Yeah.
Well,
like
but...
you do have to pick out fake kids' names, so when people ask you which one is yours, you go, "Oh, it's fucking Tommy."
They've got flyers all the fuck over town. Like my
they're practically inviting you there to be high.
They are literally to be high, yeah. you don't put on a play near 420 and not expect that to happen.
Especially
Mamma Mia.
Well,
it's a celebration, baby. Like
having performed in many, many musicals when I was younger, the spring musical was always around this time of year.
That it does sort of happen that
way.
Yeah,
because it can't be in another couple of weeks because that's like prom and shit.
And then graduation. And before that, you have spring break.
You have to fit it in between. Well, you can usually actually we had to practice during spring break.
I think spring break happened by this point. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I mean. It would be you can't do it
No, like we weren't, like, if you were in the orchestra, like I was, like, you were expected to go practice and do dress rehearsals and shit on spring break.
You couldn't go fucking rip shots and do weird shit on Daytona Beach?
Was I gonna do that to begin with? I play the bassoon.
Definitely.
Wait, yeah, did any, this actually brings up something.
No.
Much more interesting than talking about whatever movie we're doing this week.
Oh, yeah, sure, for sure.
Have any of you guys ever gone on spring break, Woo?
Yeah.
Yeah, once.
What?
Yeah.
I need to know more. Yeah.
Oh, well, when I did it, we drove from middle of the country to Myrtle Beach. Ooh. And there were four of us in the car. There was me, who usually had bad ideas, but this time it wasn't me. We had the really horny guy, and we had the other really horny guy who had just come out, and then Adam. And so
this went from an 80s through 2000s teen movie to a 2010s teen movie with the inclusion of a not straight character.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Myrtle Beach was like a real cool gay hookup hotspot.
Time
when you were going to Myrtle Beach.
I mean, I don't even remember how old I was. I might have been only 20 or something. So it was but still, like, I remember doing a lot of mini golf at various themes of mini golf, and I remember
they do have
one
those.
Night horny guy and other horny guy just sort of disappeared. And our intention initially was we were going to, like, camp, and we, like, had a campsite and everything, and they just, like, disappeared and took the tents with them. And so Adam and I
you've told this story on the pod before.
Maybe.
I don't remember this.
But we slept in the car, and this was after an 18-some-hour drive.
So it was mostly more fart than car at this point.
Oh, yeah. But, like, we didn't know where they were. And, like, we barely had cell phones then. So, it was really unpleasant. Other horny guy hooked up with a guy named Charlie. That was cool.
Okay.
Main horny guy tried to hook up with a bunch of people, failed a bunch.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Seems right for college spring break.
Yeah. I think got his nipple pierced. And then.
Then it fell off because it was Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
And then y'all went to Dick's Last Resort.
Yeah.
And then I think we might have left somebody there.
Ooh. That's a good 1,000 miles away from home.
Yeah, I think we were, like, super pissed at other horny guy because he wasn't, like, contacting us. And, like, he was like, "Oh, I'm just going to stay here for another week with Charlie." And we were like, "Okay, bye."
How and what?
you do you, man.
Yeah, it's like, he's going to take me to the airport. And like, all right.
Good for you.
In college, we went on a spring break cruise because I think we booked kind of late and it was extremely cheap. Like, you can, if you do cruising right, you can go for very, very, very cheap. And I think friend of the show Kev to this day still describes it as the worst week of his entire life.
Oh, yeah, you're on a cruise. You're going to get dysentery.
I mean, I think I had a really good time. I think everybody else had a lovely time. It was a little too much togetherness for Kev, as I recall.
Oh, I can see that.
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah,
I don't think I could handle that much togetherness. During family
vacations, how many people were in the room?
Disappear and go do other stuff.
It was just me and Kev in the room. There were like six of us total, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, it was good.
But that's
One time we planned on driving to New Orleans for spring break, and then that inevitably fell through, and instead we drove to Atlantic City,
the New Orleans of the North,
where one of my roommates, friend of the show Kurt, had a comped room, and he had to in stages bring people up to the room because there was a limit of like two people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there was like nine of us in there. It couldn't have been that many. There were a lot of us in there. Anyway, that's when we smoked salvia that we bought on the boardwalk.
This all sounds like perfect spring break.
God damn. Atlantic City is, I mean, New Orleans is a literal cesspool. Atlantic City is like 10 times that.
Mm-hmm.
That place is garbage.
And this was like 2009. So this was like right as they gave up on trying to revitalize it. So,
oh, like the Trump Tower was going out of business and everybody else was.
We stayed at the Taj Mahal, to be precise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think there is like one casino left there. It's sad and weird. Yeah.
It wasn't fun.
It sounds like we all kind of had the quintessential spring break experience.
Yeah, everything was bad and wet. Everything was my experience of it.
Everything was bad and wet and so much sand and places.
You definitely do get home and not talk to your friends for an entire week because you're like, that was a lot. Turns out.
I very specifically remember getting back to our house that we all shared, obviously, and going into my one roommate's room, and he put on the TV, and it was Silence of the Lambs. And over the course of like the movie, everyone had moved into the room because they were so hooked on why it's such a great movie to watch.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
Like, yeah. And that movie brought us together.
Yeah, there is some togetherness. We also did an East Coast to Midwest road trip with the four of us. Kev was also a part of that. And you do have some, like, we went to war and all survived kind of mentality after that. Like, you do come back and you're like, you can sit in a room for 5 hours and not speak, and it's, like, totally normal.
Yeah,
dog
Tom Hanks earned this.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We lost a few Vin Diesels along the way, but it happens.
Yeah. I scoffed at the idea of you guys having gone on spring break woo, because I always thought of it as like, oh, the rich people I know go on spring break. And now I'm realizing I went on beach weeks in the summer several years in a row.
Rich people fly to places on spring break. None of us did that.
Yeah, we drove for like 18 hours and nearly died.
Zach took a riverboat to a cruise ship, apparently. I don't know.
We took a car to a New York to a cruise ship,
Okay.
The best part about cruising from New York is most of it is on the boat, because you have to go to that place that's way down south. So, just a lot of drinking.
Like that.
So much drinking.
Yeah.
Is it not, like, chilly at that time of year? Like,
yeah, but you're drinking and you're inside at the casino or, you know, any manner of other ordering 8,000 BLTs because all the room service is free. Like, there's lots of options on a cruise.
This sounds awful. I'm sorry. I can't.
Or dancing in steerage.
Could do that.
Spinning around, doing that cool camera move.
Now, which of us is most likely to be able to stand on point and impress all of the rough and tumble men?
Well, that's
probably
imagine.
Me.
Yeah,
I can't quite. I used to be able to do on point, but I can't anymore.
Yeah, that's impressive. I don't have nothing else to say. It is incredible that any human can do that.
It was like it was gymnastics time, right? So I weighed less than nothing, and also I was 98% muscle.
Certainly, yeah.
Because there's only two things in the body, right? Muscle and fat. That's
teeth.
It.
Oh yeah, well three, I guess.
Yeah. I was 1% teeth. 2% fat and 97% muscle. Yeah, I mean, actually, no, you're right. I have so many teeth.
Right.
Shit. All right. So 5%.
You're at a disadvantage. You were never going to be an Olympian. You had too much bone.
Oh, I have too much bone.
Because of all the teeth.
Sure.
Yeah.
Really got a crossbreed with a bird. Get them all hollowed out. Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I have avian bone
disease.
Yeah, I'm always surprised when bones. Not everybody thinks that cruising would be the fucking best, because I'm a never can be by myself, have to be around people all the time, and also all the cruise shit is like, there's the casino and there's like drinking to be had 24/7 and eating and all that, and I'm like, what human wouldn't like that? Turns out like most humans seem like they don't like that thing.
Can I point
it's
a few things out
to me?
I'm an alcoholic gambling addict who has debilitating motion sickness and fear of drowning.
Oh, well, those first two would only be good because it plays into your strengths. The second two are tough.
Doctor gave me some pills for the motion sickness, though.
Ah, that's good. Yeah.
The anxiety.
The drinking evens
the
it
other
out,
one.
Yeah.
The other ones are for the anxiety.
Erica and I went on a cruise very early in our relationship, and we bought the booze package. I've definitely told this before, but you buy the booze package, it's unlimited booze all the time. And we, just the two of us, at the end of the week, they still give you the bill just to, like, make you feel bad, I guess. Mm-hmm. You slide it under the door the last day. Yeah, the last day they slide it under the door, and I laughed out loud and asked her to guess, and she was like, I don't know, like $400. It was like $1,250 for two people for 1 week. So honestly, much money.
That's impressive. Honestly, I love it.
That sounds kind of like I was expecting more. Like,
oh, I don't know.
Full truth be told, I was expecting more. I don't know how much the price per drink is, though. So
yeah, it's not. I mean, it's like bar prices, I would say. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, the whole package, it was like $200 a person. So like, we did great. But
yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, all-inclusive resort, you got me, you got my ass on the sand, toes in the sand. That's a different story, but yeah.
It's basically the same thing, but no water, or water is stationary.
Yeah, I like when water is something I can remove myself from.
Why did you stop with ass in the sand, toes in the sand? Like, about, like, sphincter in the sand, or...
It's implied, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Robot butt cheeks.
Always.
Yeah, robot butt cheeks just clanking together.
Yeah. Stay tuned for a clip show later.
We should really just get through this movie. Let's do it.
Yeah, I guess we should.
Sure.
All right, Lee's faking a movie.
So Lee's faking a movie this week.
Oh, you're going to do that thing that I do. All right.
Yeah. The movie you gave me is called The Drop, and this comes with a little ramble at the beginning from you guys. It's all right, bit of a weird one, as we discussed when this first came up. I don't know if you mean weird in the sense of cast or other reasons, but I guess I'll find out.
Cast mostly, yeah.
I don't remember saying that.
This was me for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So the movie is The Drop, and it has and forgive me and assist me with some pronunciations. I don't want to mispronounce names because I am a white guy, and
certainly
I grew up in a place where only white people live. So
true. Are Italians white people? Yeah, they are.
I mean, they hate people who look different than them, and that feels very white to me. So.
Good point. Yep.
The Drop, starring Anna Conkle, from, and Zach gave me some annotations here to clear things up, from Pen 15. She's great.
She is.
Utkarsh Ambedkar.
Not sure on that one. You need the caveat here because I would never know that name, but he is in a bunch of shit.
He's very famous. I recognized him immediately when I looked him up. He's from Pitch Perfect. He's the guy who
does the
beatboxing and he hangs out with the girl who talks really quiet in the first movie.
Yeah, right. I can't even remember her name because they really don't reference her at all. But yeah, he's the Indian guy that does the rapping mostly for the Troublemakers. Yeah.
Joshua Leonard from Blair Witch, like one of the OG Blair Witch people. Fucking wild. I thought they were all dead.
No, yeah. The other two didn't get famous at all. And this guy's in a bunch of shit, turns out.
Really? Yeah. I had no idea. Well, I remember Heather Donahue like was in some rom-coms right after Blair Witch and then nothing.
Same with like Paranormal Activity was this thing where it was just two randos and those people also like nothing. It's super weird.
Jillian Bell from Workaholics and
the best
other good things as Zach pointed out. I don't know that one about where she runs a marathon is really,
Brittany runs a marathon.
Felt really fat phobic.
It is, but I just like her a lot. She's
really good. You know what she's great in? 22 Jump Street.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I feel like she plays herself. Like, I imagine her in real life being all of her characters, and that makes me really happy, because I think it is that thing, yeah.
And then Aparna Nancharla. Zach, give me a hand.
Aparna Nancharla, yes.
Nancharla, thank you. Whom I love. She's in a fucking Corporate, a show that I've now watched Crow to Tip twice in the last month.
And a famous stand-up comedian. Her stand-up is quite good. Yeah.
And I think she has a new special recently or about to.
I think so.
Yeah.
So anyway, now that I've embarrassed myself trying to pronounce people's names, because I am a dumb white idiot, I will get into my movie.
Cool.
So we see a line of people, and the camera follows the line as it wraps around the block until we get to the front of the line, and we see that everyone is waiting outside of a trendy bakery. And the sign on the building has a really stylized looking cookie on it and the name of the place, which is The Drop. Okay. So this first scene, we see some extras in line discussing what the drop means.
Is it Mechlon?
No.
I have a guess, but I'm not going to lee it up because it's Lee's movie.
No, so. You can. I don't care.
I assume drop biscuits is that's the only drop baked thing I know. They're not really that impressive, though.
That's not what this is going to be.
So we get some extras discussing what the drop could mean because no one knows. I don't know why I'm doing this
I like it
style of speaking, but
don't
I
worry
am.
About it.
Okay.
Egg drop soup.
Very aware that I was doing it just a moment ago, and now I think I'm in my own head. One of the extras says, these are, you know, speaking extras, not important. We can cast them with whoever we want or with nobody's. One says that the drop refers to the size of the cookie before baking, which they swear is unique. One says that that's not it. A single drop of a secret ingredient is added to each cookie before
LSD.
They bake it.
I was going to say LSD too.
And this person swears that they're going to figure out what it is. And then another person says, no, they heard it's just an inside joke about how the head baker dropped their first tray of test cookies on the ground when they were like looking for people to fund the bakery. Sure. None of the people outside can agree. It's just called the drop and no one knows why. So we go inside and we see
it's
employees.
It's staffed by koalas. Drop bear.
Oh. It's not, cookies? but I do like that.
Okay. Shit. All right.
We go inside and see the employees. It's just kind of some scenes that give us a vibe of each character.
One of them is a
It's kind of like a semi-montage of like a normal day of business for them. Mm-hmm. So Anna and Jillian are up front. Anna is the new baker. And she has to do kind of a little bit of everything because she's learning the ropes. So she does some baking. She does some customer service stuff, etc.
Sure.
Jillian is the eternally harried cashier, but she has been there since day one and knows literally everything about the bakery. She's just Jillian Bell and kind of weird. So it seems like she has no clue, but really she does. We move to the back and Joshua Leonard is the head baker. And we see that he's pushing through like another round of cookies for the day because like they did the pre-open bake and now they're doing more baking in phases based on how many people are in line.
That's really good casting. He's a Chris Maloney in Wet Hot kind of like chef character, just like the schlubby white guy that's just like beaten down by the universe. Kinda. Yep.
Yeah. I'll get to like as I fill out the characters a little more. A little bit of that I included in here. Now that you say that, I wish I had done more. But
we can in the edit. It's fine.
Yeah, it's true. This is just first draft. Yeah. So we see that he's making the next batch of cookies for the day, and he's communicating to everyone else. And this is also where we notice that he's only mixing dry ingredients, and all of the wets have already been mixed. Like he has a container that he's pulling the wets from. Eventually, he runs out of that container's empty, and he knocks on the office door where we see Aparna, who is the owner and founder, stick her head out and hand another bucket to Josh. So we reach the end of the day, and just as the doors are closing...
Is she baby birding these things together?
We'll find out.
There's so many equally horrific options now.
The doors are closing and Utkarsh kind of like slides in, you know, you're not closed. I still have some business to take
That's
care of here
also
today.
Really good casting.
He's a venture capitalist bro.
Says this is pretty perfect.
He says he's here to he wants to meet the owner because he wants to make an offer on the business. And of course he gets turned away, but the rest of the movie basically is we get this VC bro constantly trying to get involved in the business. So he's flat out turned away in that opening scene. But then we see that he tries to get involved using other angles. So first thing we do, he takes out Anna. She's new, but she's already very loyal. So she essentially just kind of takes him for a ride to get good meals and presents and stuff while laughing about it with Jillian while they're at work, you know?
Sure, right.
He's also, and this is all going on at the same time, like he's like, I'm just going to hit everything from every angle.
Right.
So he's trying to appeal to Jillian with a bribe. he assumes that since she's just a cashier, she's not making any money, but she's been there the whole time. And it turns out she's one of like the early investors. So she makes a fuckload of money from this hugely popular bakery. So she doesn't give a shit. She's, you know, tells him to get lost. He tries to lure Josh away by saying that he'll fund a bakery for Josh. As long as Josh brings all the recipes, of course, but Josh is also loyal. It turns out he and Aparna have known each other for years. She helped him kick his addictions, and he joined up with her on this bakery on the condition that he could bake, but he was never going to be in charge, because that's what led to all of his issues in the past.
The stress,
he couldn't handle
right.
the pressure of being the main guy.
Sure.
So he feels like he owes a lot to her. And he's not going to turn or flip either. Yeah. So the whole time we got VC Bro just trying to get closer and closer to Aparna in order to buy the business. Or eventually he just gets annoyed and wants to steal the recipe because he's already poured so much money into this venture.
Right.
And finally, he does get to her. But it's not how you would think. He doesn't like wear down someone else. She comes to him.
Oh,
so okay. Here's where the movie is going to take a shift from mostly comedic. I'm kind of hoping that like
this
throughout
is
the movie,
classic faking movies move to have a comedy kinda,
like,
that
genres
turns into
be
it.
Damned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do we market this? Not our problem.
Well, no, I think we can market this.
Oh, sure.
But like I didn't really get across or make an effort to get across that although this is mostly comedic, there's always going to be some sort of like sinister tone building little bit.
Hell yeah.
I think that has come across. Yeah.
Okay.
There's clearly something weird going on.
Yeah. There's a weird back room where where wets come from.
Mystery yeah. wets. The worst of all kinds. Ugh.
So this is where the shift is.
Wet
like,
hand, dry
more...
hand. Wet hand, dry hand.
Yep. This is going to be where the shift is more pronounced.
Yeah.
So finally, we get back into her
choices
office
and stuff like that. I hope.
Mm-hmm.
And music.
We go back into her office and like breakneck pace from comedy with a little bit of a sinister undertone to just full-on horror comedy.
Yay!
Okay.
The office looks basically like a mad scientist's lab.
Okay.
And Aparna gives her whole monologue about how she loves baking and all the struggles she faced when corporate America moved in and started buying up all these bakeries and putting people out of business. And he isn't the first venture capitalist or otherwise to show up at her business. And she knows that he's not going to be the last. And during this whole sequence where she gets to like really just use her stand-up comedy to like timing and skills to just monologue in this fucking crazy, really intense way.
Mm-hmm. She's so good at this too, because she's very monotone and dry, which lends itself to that thing. Yeah. Like knowing the pauses and really sitting in them.
Yeah. Yeah. And Zach, I know you haven't yet. Seth has. You got to check out Corporate. She plays the HR
really
head
good.
In it. It is.
Sure. Oh yeah. That's
so
perfect for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So while she's giving this monologue, like, you know, we're moving around the space of her like office lab thing.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you realize that she's basically been reorienting him in space of the room. So to like get him into a particular area.
Okay.
And she finally asks him, you know, after this all like big lead up, she's like, but you know what? I like you. Do you actually want to know what makes my cookies special? And he's like, yeah, of course. That's why I've been here the whole time. I knew you would come around. And he's like, goes from kind of trembling with fear to like full on snaps right back into venture capitalist, unearned confidence. And she just like smiles and goes back into a comedic tone. She goes, it's the drop. And she hits a button on her desk and the floor falls out from under him.
Yep.
And we hear his screams and we see her smile. And then we pan down to see this like nightmare butchering machine that and like have this really intense practical effects like montage of his body being destroyed and turned into pulp and stuff. Like we got to get Tom Savini or someone in on this shit. And then his pulp gets all mixed up with the other ingredients and pumped into a vat that says The Drop on it. And yep. The movie closes with all the extras from the beginning rushing out the door with their brand new cookies, still arguing about what The Drop could be and raving about this brand new flavor.
Uh-huh. Eat the rich, eat the mm-hmm. rich.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was struggling to come up with what this was going to be about. And then I was making brownies yesterday. And, you know, as always, I was mixing my dries together and mixing my wets together in another container. Mm-hmm. And like, yep. What about that? Yeah.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a person who's worked for a company for a very long time now that started off as a very fun company and then is now a currently VC-owned nightmare company, boy, this really speaks to my sentiments.
Yeah. I also, like, you know, I didn't realize this. I don't think I realized your intent of this at the time, but, like, this type of movie is kind of big right now. Like, The Menu was huge. Like, right. I feel like... Maybe not money-wise. Yeah. It was successful money-wise, but it felt like culturally huge among my media consumption.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was a thing that we all, like, saw a hint of, and we're like, what is that? I need it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like Kill the Rich, food service
thing. And the whole, like, show of the whole thing is very silly. So to subvert that and be like, no, it's people. I mean, you did Soylent Green, kind of. Not really.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a much cooler version, but...
I certainly don't think this was the most original idea I've ever
had. No. I like it a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just going for a fun horror comedy. Like, this movie is going to be 85 minutes. Like, sure, we're getting in and out.
Mm-hmm. People say this about The Menu, too, where it's like, it was on rails. Like, that you sort of knew where it was going the whole time, and then it delivered that thing, and it was still enjoyable. Like... Mm-hmm. Even it wasn't a surprise, but it was still very good.
Yeah,
and I feel like your movie was perhaps kind of that thing.
It's the
journey instead
of the destination.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
I will say that. Well, and like I think this if my movie existed, I think what thing it would have in its favor is so many really funny people carrying all these scenes. Mm-hmm, like,
right,
that's it what you is need. Kind of the only thing this movie has going for it. Right.
I will say this about The Menu: it's a movie that I like less the more I think about it, and I think I've mentioned this before. I just feel like it thinks it's smarter than it is, and also is kind of all over the map about what it wants to say.
Yeah, that's true.
And
I'm back and
forth.
I was going to say, I'm back and forth on the thinks it's smarter than it is. I think it is exactly the thing it set out to do. I think that's the cynical view of it, is like, oh, it was trying to make some bold statement. I don't think it actually was. I think it was making exactly the statement it intended to make. And people maybe, again, because it was so on rails and it was not that complicated and whatever, like, people want to read into it a little further and think that it was something else. I think it was just supposed to be kind of a romp, honestly. Like,
okay.
I don't know.
Well, the other thing about it is, like, it tends to pick and choose which things are important to it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it ever interrogates the chef as the villain, like, it is to the extent that it should.
Right.
Oh, I just kind of thought that was implied the whole time. Because he just is such a fucking incredible
He's such a
narcissist
and, like, incredible, horrible guy. But, like, I don't think he ever get... I don't know. I just feel like that scene where his sous chef, who he sexually harassed, stabs him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the movie, like, relies too heavily on that for the, like... I don't know.
For anyway. His, like, redemption, pseudo-redemption.
Well, not even redemption, just, like, we get it. Right. He's also a bad guy. Yeah. It's like, but we don't really get into it as much. I don't know.
What?
It was still mostly fun.
What your story reminded me of was The Bear. Which
thing I haven't and will not watch.
I really think you'd actually enjoy it.
I think you would too. You've never done food service, right? You don't.
Yeah, but I've never done food service, but I've done service industry.
Yeah,
but there's too realistic for me is the problem.
It does have a redemption arc, though.
Yeah, like, I think it's really good and worth a watch, even if parts of it are anxiety driven. But
yes,
but not all of it. And I think you would enjoy it. But you don't got to watch nothing, so don't worry about it. You're going through Star Trek right now, which is all I can ask.
Oh, I'm not, because
you mean
my partner,
slowly on YouTube.
My partner ended up not being into it, and I just haven't gotten around to starting it up for myself.
Oh,
that's all.
No,
I'm very into it. Like, I am. Like, we watched the pilot for Deep Space Nine, and she was like,
Oh yeah,
I don't know.
That one's a Stone Cold bummer.
Well, she was like, I don't know. This feels like, I imagine it gets better, but there's just a lot going on. I don't think it was pulled off very well. And I was like, you should watch the fucking pilot for Next Gen, because if you think TNG? This was bad,
yeah,
like,
pilot for Next Gen.
We've talked about this
1,000
times. I have watched that episode 3 times.
Why?
It
Why?
Has cut me
just
off from the entire
a
series
good
emotionally.
Episode instead.
Yeah, I know. I think one of these days I will.
I'm glad that I have watched the pilot for Next Gen, because it made me watch the pilot for Deep Space Nine and be like, this is a fucking pilot. Like,
yeah, right.
Fair.
It is probably the best of the three pilots, to be honest. Voyager's
of the 90s
great.
Era.
Yeah, Voyager isn't great either. Okay, so less Star Trek. Now we'll talk about this movie. Maybe.
Sure. Never less Star Trek. What?
I mean, I know. I know. Okay, so this is a 2022 film.
Sure. Oh, this is brand new.
Well, look at the people in it. Of course it is.
Yeah.
yeah, okay, fair.
Yeah, so it's 2022. Wow. When we get to ratings, that'll be fun.
Yes, agreed.
In this cringe comedy, a married couple face a marriage test. Jesus Christ. A married couple face a marriage test when one of them drops a baby during a tropical island wedding.
Uh-oh. Oh my God.
So, yeah, some history here. I don't know if
Hey, there's another bad. Movie called The Drop that I don't know anything about if you guys want
yeah,
to
Yeah, we know
do that.
That. Don't
point.
Look stuff oh, up.
Yeah.
I was looking up this movie.
Yeah, to be fair, when you Google The Drop, that one comes up first. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's famously, I think it started as an Australian show and then
The
turned
Slap.
Into a movie?
I knew the you slap. Were going to talk about The Slap. Yeah.
Yes, The Slap is an equally sort of not famous but interesting where they start like a backyard barbecue and somebody slaps somebody else's kid, and then the whole thing is like, how do you untangle that emotional nightmare after that?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so let yeah. me I may correct me if I'm wrong, was that a comedy in Australia and then a drama in the US? I'm trying to remember.
I think it was explicitly kind of a comedy in Australia, and then the US one is sort of, I guess you'd call it a black comedy, but I think it was much more serious. It was much less comedy, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But this feels very in spirit of that thing.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Is Eric Bana in the Australian one, or do I just assume he's in every Australian TV comedy? Because that's how he got started.
That, but, yeah.
Oh, sure. That was like 2010 or something. I think he was way famous by that point. But yeah.
Fair. Yeah.
Anyway, so Seth and I talked about how to describe this. There's really no good way to do it. I think we're going to describe the couples and the mm-hmm. people and maybe okay. just barely get into the plot.
There isn't much plot, right? It's a lot of...
It's a lot of interpersonal, character-driven
real,
shit. Where it's
real
just
bottle
like,
episode.
Yeah, the baby thing honestly goes away pretty fast. And it's just like these friends that have a lot of baggage within their friend group kind of working out the baggage, honestly.
So the baby thing is just a way into the
and it comes okay. back, but it's definitely not like 100% of the focus. Mm-hmm, it's like 50% sure. maybe.
Yeah.
So Anna Conkel is the droppist. Mm-hmm. She does the drop. And I said to Seth, like, it comes weirdly fast. It's like the second scene, but I guess if the whole premise of the movie is what happens after that, then it necessarily has to happen pretty early. Like,
right.
So it's there's a destination wedding, Aparna and this woman we didn't give you. I forget. I don't think she's
Jennifer LaFleur, maybe?
Yes, Jennifer LaFleur.
Yeah.
They already have the baby. They're getting married at a destination wedding on like a tropical something. Costa Rica, maybe? I forget. And so they're all showing up at the airport, and they hand the baby to
Anna Conkel,
for like a second, and she like something kind of like startles her or something, and she drops the baby. So we're off and running. Mm. She is dating.
She's married
guy,
to Jermaine,
or married
Jermaine Fowler. Yeah,
Jermaine Fowler. He's also kind of an up and coming, but he wasn't.
Yeah, I recognize the name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. The dynamic is immediately like they do well at establishing. He's like, oh shit, I have to stand up for my partner, but also this is a no-win situation. Like there, I cannot do anything right. Like
mm-hmm.
it's just a fucking nightmare.
Yep.
So Aparna and her partner run off to the hospital with the baby immediately. They then all sort of eventually travel to this, like, it's like a B&B of sorts, like a very crunchy vegan style B&B
that is owned by Joshua Leonard and Jillian Bell.
And Jillian Bell, yeah.
Okay.
So they set up this in their, like, perfect life, and they're trying to, like, make it as this, like, destination kind of Instagrammable situation.
Yeah, but it sucks.
Comes out in the movie that they're financially not doing very well because they're lunatics. And, like, it's just, yeah, they're, like, a
human fertilization sort of thing where they're, they have an outhouse that's where they get their manure.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah.
It's the exact stereotype of, like, overly kind of hippie, crunchy person currently, mm-hmm. like, in modern times.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I would assume so. The movie was made last year.
Yep.
Right, sure. Utkarsh and his wife, Robin Theed is her name.
Yeah.
I don't think she's very famous either, but she is an actual, like, Instagram famous person. And
like,
so they're
in the movie, you mean, like, her character?
Or... yes, yeah, her character. Okay, okay. So they're taking all the time in the world to like take the photos and the grandma bullshit and, like,
oh, it's like the stuff in the first half of Triangle of Sadness.
Sure. Yes. Exactly that. Yeah. Yeah. And then it the movie is not shy about being obvious of the downsides of all of these things. Like, everybody kind of rolls their eyes at each other because it's obvious that they're all this, like, exaggerated stereotype of the thing that they actually are. Mm-hmm. And so they're all friends, but it's all sort of, like, you can tell they don't actually like each other, right?
Yeah,
and they're all sort of there because it's a wedding, and you sort of have to go to weddings for your friends if you were good friends maybe 10 or 15 years ago, and maybe now you're not such good friends or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so the baby thing is looming very heavily, and everybody's, like, trying to console Anna as much as they can, but then as soon as she's not around, they just, like, shit talk her immensely.
It's like, who drops feels a like... baby?
Yeah, because you, that's your social, like, ammo, right? Like,
I mean...
like, I'm on the side of good. I'm the one that's shitting on the person that dropped the baby.
Yeah, we've all been... we've sure, done this. Yeah. We've done this thing amongst our friend group. Yeah,
absolutely. It is a very natural thing, and it's... That, I think, is the kind of effective thing, is it shines a light on the contextual differences within, like, friend groups and interpersonal mm-hmm. relationships or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good at that. So the movie goes on. The baby eventually comes back. It's wearing one of those helmet things that babies wear, like a concussion protocol helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there's all these, like, very, like, fun, awkward moments of them giving Anna the baby to hold again to virtue signal
just a mistake.
But one of it's either Aparna or Jennifer, one of them is, like, trying to be, like, that thing, and the other one's, like, obviously not cool with it. And
Aparna is not cool with it, and also has a gun for some reason.
Oh yeah. Aparna easily the best character in this movie.
She has a gun. She listens to the Joe Rogan podcast, and like,
she says early on, he's just a really good interviewer, which is, like, a thing people say about Joe Rogan when they want to hide that they mm-hmm. agree with Joe Rogan.
But she's apparently become, like, hyper-perfective and much more conservative after the child was born.
Which is hilarious because she's in this interracial lesbian relationship and everybody's like, is she a weird Republican? And eventually I think she just yells out loud, I'm a libertarian!
Yeah, I admit it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, that part is very fun.
Yeah, but they keep dropping those weird hints about, like, he's just a good interviewer kind of thing. It's like, those mm-hmm. jokes are very good. They landed 100%.
Yeah.
So it goes on, and everything basically unravels. Anna goes on this, like, walkabout because she is, like, distraught and can't deal with her own situation.
And it's, like, cracking coconuts on the beach, which is a recurring theme, is when people have breakdowns, they go try to crack green coconuts on the beach.
Yeah.
Naked, usually.
Yeah. Her partner are... This is... It's one of those experiences where it's like they already kind of weren't doing great, and this is just enough sort of... mm-hmm. Not tragedy, but disruption.
Yeah, because they've been trying to...
They've been trying to have kids, and it hasn't really been working. Yeah.
Oh, and this is, like, kind of a not a sign, but you could, if you're struggling with that, you could take it as a sign that,
right,
like, oh,
yeah.
They do talk about, like, yeah, would I be a good mom because I dropped the baby and all that. Mm-hmm. It brings everything to the surface. And so,
you know, the partner, Jermaine Fowler, he calls his mom and is like, hey, did you ever drop a baby? And she's like, no, that's white people shit.
Right. There's the racial thing there, too. Yeah.
And then later, near the end of the movie, she does call and is like, yeah, I maybe dropped you three times.
Yeah. There is good redemption arcs for basically everybody.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, fucking everybody's human. Like, get over it.
It becomes clear that Anna Conkle may have hooked up with almost everybody in this friend group at some point.
Yeah. Yep. It's the classic arc. Like, it gets very, very bleak and, you know, they decide, like, maybe we're not meant to be together. And I guess one of them, they moved for one person, and, like, everybody's a little upset about that.
Yeah,
and the whole thing. And
Jermaine Fowler is from New York, and he moved to L.A., and he, like, fucking hates L.A., which,
like, away from family and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah, Seth, I actually don't remember how this movie ends, so you're going to have to close to me. I watched this, like, maybe a month and a half ago. So.
The way it ends is Jermaine now goes on a walkabout and runs into some fishermen who don't speak any English and he doesn't speak any Spanish. And he's like, oh, I think my girlfriend or my wife and I have broken up, and they don't understand him. And they're like, oh, she was eaten by a shark? Because that's why he's so distraught, because he's like sitting on the beach in the early morning, like
in like a suit, as I recall.
Yeah, yeah. And so he like gets taken in by this family, and like none of them speak any English at all, and they're all like, how big was the shark? And he's like, yeah, I got a big heart. And all sorts of stuff. Like
the jokes in this movie are like pretty good, honestly.
Yeah, like, it was a fun little stretch, and then finally they're like, yeah, you got to get the fuck out. And he's like, oh, thank you so much, I appreciate all your, after he like drinks with them and takes care of their, or does,
well,
takes advantage of their hospitality, even though he doesn't understand what's going on.
There's a lot of those too. Seth, you pointed out when they show up, they have a bunch of, I guess, was it Costa Rica or like Belize or something, I don't remember. But they have a bunch of...
they have a mariachi band.
There's a mariachi band, and somebody says, like, the white people are coming, play the white people music, and they play La Cucaracha.
Yeah.
And then all the people that are the stars of the movie show up, and they go, ooh! Like, they're, like, real psyched about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the cultural appropriation, or, like, exploitation thing is, like,
this is a main joke, yeah.
Yeah. So Jermaine eventually, like, starts wandering back, and everybody's leaving the island, and Anna Conkle's like, I'm not leaving without him, even though, like, they had this row. And then they make up, and they're like, oh, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be the entire world for each other, but, you know, you can be the most important part of my world. And then, like they've been trying to conceive, she of course gets morning sickness right then.
Oh, that, so that she's one's a little. She's a woman in a movie who's sick. So
yeah. Yep. Yeah. So then that's the end. And then, oh, actually, the real end is then they're doing a home birth, and poop. It's poop first. Uh-oh,
yeah,
funny
she
poop.
Pushes a lot, and she's like, did I do it? And he goes, no, that was a poop.
Yeah, and that's the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's the movie.
Okay.
There's not a lot else to it.
Yeah. Mm-mm. It was kind of nothing.
Yeah, it's kind of nothing.
Wow. I feel like I just watched you have a sneeze for an hour. That one, the facial expressions went on a long time.
It was in slow motion.
So I while you were telling me about the movie, I looked it up on Hulu, and not on Hulu, on IMDb, and I see that it's on Hulu, and like,
it is, yeah.
Does Hulu just make vacation movies now? Like movies where rich, like, because I'm thinking of the John Cena one from like the Vacation Friends movie from like 2 years ago, and wasn't Ticket to Paradise the George Clooney, Julia Roberts one on Hulu?
Right,
and,
yeah.
I think so, yeah.
And then there's that J-Lo one where J-Lo's getting married, and they're on, it's a destination wedding that gets taken over by pirates, and I think that was on Hulu. Like,
oh, God, wow.
Huh.
Yeah, entirely possible.
I wonder if it just helps to have all of your accounts offshore.
Well, that, or it's just, famous rich people that are like
love to go on vacation.
Yeah, they're like, can we film in a cool place? Or alternatively, if they film during the pandemic, we can do this here and not like have to deal with all the bullshit that is like safety or whatever. So,
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
So
what else? What else do I need to know?
There is literally nothing else.
Yep, that's it.
Oh, that's it.
Okay. That's it. Yeah, it's Aparna is very fun, but that's
Aparna is great. Susan Sullivan, who is an actor definitely seen in TV shows. She plays Anna's mom, I think.
Yeah.
Didn't really give matter. You her. She's like around.
Okay, well, if there's nothing else.
Oh, she was on Dharma and Greg.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, another unconventional couple or something. I don't remember.
Yikes.
Very well.
I guess. No, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, so the IMDb with 703 votes.
That is amazing. I did not realize that. So I was tracking this movie. I very
703. So we can change it.
You could actually, if you could very change much. The.
We might. The this might be like less than Little Loopers, honestly.
No, Little Loopers. Sure. Like
I'm gonna look up Little Loopers while you
that,
guys talk.
That might have been in the tens, not the hundreds. That's fair. Mm-hmm. I forget.
But. Yeah, but this has a 4.2.
Yeah. I think that went down considerably since I've seen it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
I read the like top review if you like scroll down from a rando, and it's basically like these people are all very unlikable and that was shitty to watch. And I was like, "Yeah, but that's the point." Like I think if you didn't want that thing, why did you watch this movie? Like it's a movie about our generation of people and it's shining a light on all the shitty versions of that. So like, of course it's going to be that. Like, I don't know what you expected, I guess.
This is like that argument of like, when something unexpected happens in a movie, people are calling it a plot hole. Now it's like, the characters were unlikable. So I don't like the movie. It's like, sometimes that's the fucking point.
Yeah. It's not for you. So like, that's fine. But like, don't write a thing on IMDb then.
By the way, as we speak, Little Loopers has 123 votes.
Oh, shit.
I can't remember if I created an IMDb account and voted for it. I feel like I did, but I don't
know. Did you give it a 10?
Yeah, almost certainly.
Yeah. Ugh, confusing.
For Rob Morrow? Yeah, easily.
That Morrow bump, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, yeah. Just suck out that Morrow from the bone.
Mm-hmm. I personally rated every single episode of Numbers, so there's that.
Gross.
Well, this one was a Morrow light. It only gets a 9.5.
Yeah, more Morrow. Where's Krumholtz? I don't know.
Zach, why don't you do this boy first?
Okay. Did you forget what Lee's movie was?
No.
Original, I think I like it a lot more, again, because of the people. I was very forgiving. And these people are all our age. Like, all of these archetypes or stereotypes, whatever you want to call them, are people, like, that exist. And I don't know. I thought the jokes were much more fun than, I guess, the usual audience member thought. It wasn't a spectacular movie. It was fine. Yeah. But I'm going to go like a 6. Like, I think if you're in the mood for something that is like truly doesn't matter at all, and you just whatever, like it's a totally reasonable movie.
Yeah.
Lee's thing. I'm tempted to say nothing about it so Seth has to struggle, but I guess
I know. It's always the fun thing to do.
Yeah. I'll remind him that you kill VC people for bakery.
Now I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want it to sound like it's only VC people, but in this particular instance.
Yeah. Whoever walks in and is being a cunt, I guess.
And don't forget, we've got Tom Savini on board to do all the body effects. Yeah. And the body horror.
That is really fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is good at that thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good. I think you cast it spectacularly. All the people fit into their obvious roles. And again, kind of one of those things that it's like really, it's one of those movies that I wouldn't have to like hover over it with my mouse and go like, am I in the mood for it? I don't know. Like, it's a movie that I would just be like, yeah, we're watching that right now. Like, it's
remember good 85 minutes.
Like, right. Yeah. And horror turned horror comedy. Like, perfect. Love it. Yeah, I'm going 8-7 on yours. I think it's
thank you.
Really good idea. And yeah, just good, clean fun.
Yep. Now, would it cost me points or get me points if I mention that, obviously, when they're all lined up outside the bakery, they are in a trendy city, perhaps one where that becomes a character in the movie itself?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like movies in modern times don't really do that thing anymore. They go to weird places.
Well,
like,
right. It's because they film everything in Vancouver.
Right.
But, yeah. Like, or random Georgia places. Yeah. Or, I don't know. Ohio. Yeah. Gross. Who knows? Yeah. I'd say lose, so don't do that.
Okay, I won't do it then.
We don't need that character involved.
Uh-huh.
They're in a city, that's all.
Let's say Cincinnati, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Nasty Natty? No one wants to go to Nasty Natty.
Yeah, but these are all the up-and-coming things, right? Where people are bored and you feel there's like a new bakery that comes out. You're like, cool, I'll go eat people. That sounds dope.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. As for me, for the original, it is kind of nothing. I like Aparna being super violent and, well, not super violent. She does punch, Anna Kongo in the face, which is very funny.
Oh, I guess that is the eventual resolution of the whole baby drop thing, is she lets out the steam that she's been holding in, because her partner the whole time is more forgiving and Aparna is unwilling to forgive, and then she literally punches her in the face and she's like, okay, like, I feel better.
They're like having
so
a
kind
heart
of a
heart.
Reverse the slap.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, there's a couple of good segments that are pretty enjoyable, but in general it's kind of nothing. So like a 4-ish. Yeah.
I Seth, not to interrupt, Lee, you will care about this. This was directed or not directed. EP'd and apparently heavily influenced by the Duplass brothers, perhaps unsurprisingly. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, they got their stink all over Hollywood.
And if you were to watch the movie, I didn't know that until afterwards, but I went like, oh yeah, I see. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. And, as for Lee with your super tasty cookies, and your hint of LSD in every in every delicious treat, I'm going to give you an 8.7 also. I like this sort of thing. It's very fun.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Again, it's movies like this actual movie that has the same amount or perhaps less than the version that you said, Lee. Like, again, why aren't, like, the movie that you proposed is very makeable. Like, that is a movie.
Oh, yeah. It's like two sets until we get to the last scene. Like, you spend all the money on the last scene. Everything else is like, oh, we need to film in a restaurant for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
and the storyline's not insane, but in a good way. Like, in a way that is digestible. Like, if some, like, any Hollywood person,
like, exec cookies
would read that and be like, yeah, that's a movie. That has the shape of a movie. Like,
we can make that for $10 million or less, probably less.
Sell it to Hulu for $40 and not pay any of the people that worked on it. And that's where, let's do it.
No one gets any royalties ever.
Of course.
You know, there is a writer's strike right now.
Yeah. Yeah. For this exact thing that streaming
97%
pays
of people in the guild voted to go on strike. Like,
that's a good strike. Yeah. Who's not voting that? Is it like Spielberg?
I'm betting some old showrunners probably.
That don't work in streaming at all anymore. Like
that don't work in streaming, or like it benefits them, like they have their own production companies now, maybe, or so. Although I don't know union rules, maybe at a certain point you can't be in the union anymore because
if you become the bum, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
fair enough.
Similarly, there's a huge strike in Canada right now of all government workers.
Oh. That's fun.
Yeah.
What do they want? Money?
Well, to be like better treated. Because it's really bad.
Yep. Understandable.
So.
I remember this is not exactly on topic, but I remember when Trudeau got elected prime minister, and there were all people online with their memes, all as a former English major. It's like, this is what you can do with an English degree. It's like, yeah, when your father was also the prime minister of a country, for yeah. sure. Yeah.
That
yeah.
is, he has the George W. legacy, 100%. Yeah.
Although for recently, a while he was better.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets a lot of shit now. I don't know anything.
Well, I mean,
about
you know,
Canadian
he bought
politics.
A bunch of pipelines and
sure.
like that.
Yeah.
And all of the treatment of native peoples that yeah. has been unearthed while he's been in office. I mean, yeah. not that he did it, but he also didn't really do anything to improve what's going on at
or
the moment.
He did just enough to shine a light on how he didn't do more, kind of like that thing.
Yeah.
I did see a very cool video recently where he was on like some like handshake line or something, and some guy was gonna like some right wing nightmare person was gonna like super roast him or whatever, and he actually did very well. He was like, no, tell me honestly about your thing. What is your thing? Like, what do you actually want? And then everything the guy said, he was just like, cool, how does that work? Like, how do we make that happen? And the guy just like
fell apart.
Nothing. Nothing. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know anything about Justin Trudeau really, but like I liked his take on like, no, tell me your fucking thing.
this is the key to you know, I hate to invoke the Voldemort of screenwriters, but this is like one of the enduring Sorkin things that I will always remember that I wish like happened more in real life. There's an episode, I think it's season 4, where the president is running for re-election and he has this debate with his opponent, and his opponent, they've been working all week on a 10-word answer, and his opponent gives his 10-word answer, and then he's like, on your rebuttal, he goes, yeah, we've been trying to come up with 10-word answers too, but 10-word answers don't explain how anything works, so the rest of my time will go to him to explain how that works, and he can't.
Mm-hmm.
And like, my yeah. God, to live in a world where that mattered.
Yeah. Right? Where you really do just turn the spotlight around and go, wait, what was that again? Like,
yeah. But it doesn't fucking matter. Here's an example from the real world to show how it doesn't fucking matter. Former wrestler Kane, Glenn Jacobs, is the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, and he is a libertarian.
Oh.
And in the most recent election where he was reelected in a landslide, his opponent was being interviewed, and his opponent said, I have no chance. I'm not going to win. I know this. All I'm asking, and I'm begging any newspaper or television station around here, ask him how any of his things work.
Right.
Please. No one ever asks him beyond his talking points. His plans have no substance, and they conflict with each other. Mm-hmm. Would someone please ask him how something works? And it didn't matter. In fact, I think this person did worse in the polling after that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's just...
That does suck when you're doing the right and, like, obvious thing. And, yeah. Well, Tennessee's doing real shitty political things generally currently. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they're the only ones, but...
No, but... Oof. Hey, good for them for, like, I can't win, but, hey, let's, like, yeah. Anybody want to, like, take a look at this at all? Yeah.
Well,
so
that
here's
was
what I propose,
fun.
Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what I propose. Oh, we start a country, but we do it right this time.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Scotland?
Well,
there's already Swaziland, or not anymore, but
no.
I think it sounds too similar.
So that one's back on the menu then. Yeah.
Scottsdale.
Yeah. Now...
Scottsdale's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sounds like that place in Arizona. That's
right.
Too hot.
So it would be hard on the phone to tell someone where you live.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially your old parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we make it? I'm a cold weather boy. I can't with the hot. Mm-hmm. Like tropical sounds obvious, but like, where's cheap land? We need cheap land.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, so like, first off, we need land. Second, we become sovereign citizens. That's step two.
Ooh, that's a rough start. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've watched a lot of videos about that. It does not go well.
We could buy a little island in the Thousand Islands.
That's true. If you are rich enough, you can buy an island where you can create your own government. I think Jeffrey Epstein did this thing. He just did it not the right way.
We've really got off the rails, huh, guys?
Yeah. So next week...
Really? You're going to hang me out to dry on that one?
Well, you and Jeffrey Epstein are hanging out to dry. Oh,
Jesus. What am I, Bill Clinton or other famous people? That...
Or Elon Musk or, I mean,
no, there were like some, allegedly. There were some good ones too. Didn't like fucking Bill Gates go there? Weird. Well, he's a billionaire. Andrew. He can't be that good.
Yeah.
He's obviously a bad one.
Guys, okay, so whatever. Next week. Fucking hell. I don't even remember what it's supposed to be next week.
Oh, I
think it's
it.
Zach.
Oh, yeah. God, next damn. Week, I'm doing a movie that's been on the list for a very long time called Running Scared.
Running Scared.
And there's
yes.
two right. of these, and I believe we're doing the William Crystal version. So.
All right. Yeah, yeah, sure. William Crystal.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yep. Or yeah, who knows, I guess.
Until next time, apartheid is
the fuck.
That's a cut, obviously. Oh, Lee, you really gave me a hand out of that hole that we